Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
When you want to grow your business, use Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Seamlessly collaborate with your team using a suite of built-in tools and features to make your workday easier, like huddles to schedule impromptu meetings and avoid another calendar invite, or Workflow Builder, which lets you automate routine tasks so you can spend more time on the work that matters most. Slack. Grow your business here. Learn more at slack.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode of Steeler Stat Geek. This is Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield coming at you again Thursday morning, schedule release day. Sorry if I'm laughing a little bit, but yeah, that's all because of what happened Tuesday night on the Scobro show. I was so flustered. I didn't even know what day it was, and I start introducing the show as Steeler Stat Geek. And if you didn't catch the show, go back. I didn't edit it out. I didn't cut it out. I just thought it was kind of a fun moment between my brother and I. And what happened was when I went to run the podcast, there was an error for it to go on Facebook Live. So I was flustered by that, and it took a long time through the show. I finally got it figured out technically while we were going, and it was all good. But it's just funny. I have to second guess myself now whenever I go to say the name of the show. But this is Steeler Stat Geek, and this is Thursday morning, and I'm excited to know the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule for 2022. I really am. There's a lot of rumors out there of what the schedule is. There's some that might carry a little bit more weight than others and some that might not. I'm going to go ahead and hit you up with a couple of these right now, just for the fun of it. It's reported the Steelers are opening on the road again against the Browns. I know I say again, because that would be 8 straight years. It's funny because the blame goes around here. One, I mean, last year, it's funny because they're like, was Art Rooney really complaining about that they weren't? I mean, if you mention anything that you don't like what the NFL does, just even saying, well, we'd like to open up at home, that's complaining, because you don't speak ill of the NFL or King Roger will rain down on you. So the fact that Art Rooney II even said something meant that they're getting kind of tired of opening on the road every year. It'd be nice to start their season at Heinz Field. It'll be 8 seasons in a row if they don't get that opening game. But the only way they can get it this year is they got to play on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, because once again, the Pirates are scheduled. No, they don't share a stadium, but they do share parking facilities. So the two teams don't go at the same time. So they have to go off that schedule. Steelers can't have a 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock game on opening weekend at home. At least I don't think they could do a 4 o'clock game with a 1:35 first pitch for the Pirates. But so the NFL could come through for them and give them a primetime game, but it looks like they're going to open on the road is the safer bet. And it has been reported that they're going to open up at Cleveland. Unsubstantiated reports. These are just some of the rumors flying around. Another big rumor flying around is that mid-season, week 10, they would be at Baltimore. And then the other two games that are more – let's just say there's more credence behind these being possibly being true is finishing up the season at home against Baltimore in week 17 on New Year's Day, a 4 o'clock, 4:25 probably kickoff. And then the last week of the season would be going to Cincinnati. Wouldn't be surprised to see the Steelers open and close on the road. They've got the extra road game this year. They had the extra home game last year and still open and closed on the road. But that's what those are. There's some other rumors floating around, like hosting the Jets in week two for a 1 o'clock game. Week four could be going to Miami for a 1 o'clock game. There's reports of week six, which is, the middle of October, of hosting the Raiders for a 1 o'clock game. Then there's a rumor of three straight NFC games starting in week 12, which is the Thanksgiving week, but they wouldn't be playing on Thanksgiving, that they go to Carolina for 1 o'clock, host the Saints for 1 o'clock the next week, and then travel to Philly for a 4:25 game. That would be the second Sunday in December. All these are rumors. There's one more that I really hope isn't true, and that's a 4:25 kickoff at home against New England on Christmas Eve. Most of the NFL games are being played on Christmas Eve because Christmas Day is Sunday. That's what they normally do. There's going to be at least two, likely three games on Christmas Day. There'll be a Monday night game the day after Christmas. There'll be a Thursday night game leading up to it. When I did my schedule prediction, I was hoping for that to be the Steelers Thursday night game because, man, that would be great to not, the one time you have to play on a short week, you get to avoid Christmas. But that's not what the NFL is going to do for the Steelers. But, man, as someone who has season tickets and lives out of town, there's no way I can go to a 4:25 Christmas Eve game when I have little kids at home. I mean, I wouldn't get home till 3:30 in the morning and then have to, do Christmas Day. But to me, Christmas Eve is more of a holiday than Christmas Day almost, just in preparation. So I'm not a fan of that one. I'm hoping that one's not true. But I just thought I'd give you some of these rumors just because, well, the schedule hasn't been released yet. It'll be released tonight, 8 o'clock. On, I'm pretty sure, NFL Network, saying I have an article that says where it's being shown and can't remember where it is, but I'm pretty sure that's where it is. But there's been a number of games announced, tons of leaks out there. There's some teams that, like, their full schedule has been leaked, like the Ravens. But you don't know if these are true. Last year, there was a full schedule for the Steelers that was leaked. Yeah, like half of it was true. So the thing is, oh, well, you got half of it right, but you have no idea which half is right and which one isn't, which part is, which isn't. So that's what kind of makes it fun. So just thought I'd talk about that. Mini camp's kicking off tomorrow, Friday. I know Jeff Hartman's going to talk about that on Let's Ride on Friday, I'm pretty sure. So let's roll into our topic. And the topic today is actually, it's funny, this one was brought to me by one Brian Anthony Davis. He started to do some research for his The More You Know article or segment of an article. He does a Sunday article that's just got some great information in it. Behind the steelcurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. Bad gives us two great articles on Sundays. You've got that one, and you've got The Week That Was. That's two of my favorite articles that both run on Sunday. So if you haven't checked those out, make sure you do. But part of what he does with this one, he has a trivia section. He's just got some different tidbits of information. He does Steelers birthdays, all kinds of great stuff in this article. And he was looking up stuff about wide receivers and what they did as rookies. And he thought there was some interesting information. He's like, you may want to talk about this on StatGeek. So I'm like, I can do that this week, Brian. Thank you very much. Almost had Brian on as a guest. I really did, but I needed to answer the other question that I didn't get answered last week. And I knew if I brought Brian on, we would just have such a good time and be talking and laughing that I'd have to skip the question again. And I want to make sure I get to that. So, maybe sometime I'll have Brian on just for fun. But the other reason is I'm scheduled to have a guest next week. Yeah, there'll be another guest. And it's not someone from BTSC. It is specifically a stats guest. So you're just going to have to tune in next Thursday to see what that's all about. So hopefully that that guest, everything's still, I mean, we're all lined up for everything. Hopefully it doesn't, nothing changes in the next week, and I'll be bringing that to you next week. If not, then I'll have an announcement for you next week of what's going on, and hopefully we can bring that to you at some other time. So let's get to this question. It's about wide receivers drafted by the Steelers and what they do in their rookie season under Kevin Colbert. So what, you know, the Steelers under Kevin Colbert have a reputation of being really good at drafting quality wide receivers. Now, you can't get them all right. Yes, I know. There's always going to be times where you just remember Lima Sweet. It's just what it is. You're going to remember some of those picks. But for every Lima Swede, you have someone on the other end of the spectrum. You know, I'd say an Antonio Brown, but man, Antonio Brown just kind of, you know, broke the mold there. Not necessarily his rookie year, though. So that's something to remember, because the Steelers drafted two wide receivers in Kevin Colbert's final draft. Well, what we assume, because, you know, he says he's stepping away, they're hiring another GM. You know, I don't think he's going to Tom Brady it. And next thing you know, Kevin Colbert's like, maybe I should come back for one more run. I don't think that's going to be the case. But until they hire a new GM, I'm not going to rule it out. But in his last draft, he drafted, you know, him, Coach Tomlin, the entire Steelers organization. But, you know, this is under the general manager. Two wide receivers. And what can we expect from them as rookies? Now you're saying, well, maybe it's a lot to ask a lot as rookies. Well, guess what? We're worried about this season coming up. That's what we're focused on. So yeah, we want to see more from them down the road, but what's going on with them as rookies? So then it kind of turned into a all rookie wide receiver team under Kevin Colbert, looking at his legacy of drafting wide receivers and kind of how these guys, where they fell out based on a number of statistics. So I will tell you right now some of the numbers. Under Kevin Colbert, so since 2000, the Pittsburgh Steelers have drafted 26 wide receivers. So in 23 drafts, 26 wide receivers. Were there drafts there that they did not draft a receiver? Yes, there was. 2003, 2004, that was two years in a row. That's the last time they've gone 2 years in a row without drafting a wide receiver. Let's see. They did in 7. They did in 8, 9, 10. 2011, they did not. And then they didn't. Then they did every year up until 2021. Then in 2022, they drafted 2. So let's look at some of these. 26 wide receivers. There were 2 of them who did not ever play a game. Okay, they didn't, meaning a regular season game. Of course, preseason doesn't count because you've got a lot more players in the roster and things of that nature. But there's 2 of them. One was 4th round draft pick Fred Gibson, wide receiver out of, I hate to say it, Georgia, did not play. And then the other is Chris Taylor, which was out of Texas A&M. He was a 7th round draft pick in 2001. Didn't have anything where either one of them ever played in a game, not just for the Steelers, but in the NFL. All right. So there's 2 of them down. We're down from 26 to 24. Then I'm going to knock 2 more out of here, because guess what those are? The 2 the Steelers just drafted. We don't know what they're going to do in the rookie year yet. So that already gets us down to 22 players. So sorry, George Pickens. Sorry, Calvin Austin III. You don't count here because you don't have any NFL games yet. So then the Steelers are down to 22 players that were drafted by the Steelers. And those 22 remaining all appeared in at least one game in their rookie season. Now I've got to talk about a disclaimer about 2 more. 2 more of those players did not play with the Steelers their rookie season, because they were released and gone on to their other respective teams. Those 2 players are Tony Clemens, who was drafted in the 7th round of 2012. He actually played with the 4 games with the Jacksonville Jaguars as a rookie. And then the other one who was actually more successful was in 2000. Okay, so you hear me, 2000. It was 4th round draft pick Danny Farmer out of UCLA, ended up, instead of with the Steelers, ended up with the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, played 13 games, started two as a rookie, had 19 receptions, 268 yards. So that's his numbers. So if you throw those two out, you're down to 20 players, 20 wide receivers drafted by the Steelers, appeared in a game in their rookie season. Now, there's two more then who did not have a reception. Well, one more that didn't even have a target. Willie Reed appeared in one game, didn't even have a target. That was in 2006. And then Lee Mays in 2002 played in 16 games, had two targets, but no catches. So now you're down to 18 wide receivers drafted by the Steelers, played their rookie year and had a reception. So let's look and see at who our top five are based on various stats. Let's start with the biggest one. The wide receiver that had the most yardage in their rookie season. Before I do, I've got to throw out there that Dre Archer was considered a wide receiver when he came out. So he's among these numbers, but you're not going to see him much in any of these stats. But he could be brought up, and I just wanted to throw that out there now. The top five yardage for rookies, wide receivers, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number one is Juju Smith-Schuster, 917 yards. So the Steelers have never had a player that they drafted as a wide receiver have a 1,000-yard season as a rookie. So that's just one thing to keep note of. But now in today's NFL, that could be a little bit more likely. But Juju Smith-Schuster in 2017 had 917 yards. Second was Chase Claypool in 2020, 873 yards. Third was Santonio Holmes in 2006 with 824 yards. Fourth was Mike Wallace in 2009, 756 yards. And fifth out of those remaining, Deontay Johnson in 2019 had 680 yards. There was one other receiver that did go over 500 yards as a rookie, and that was Martavis Bryant, had 549. And the other one that was close was Antoine Randall with 489. So those are the numbers when it comes to rookies and it comes to yardage. Okay. Here's another one that I thought was interesting. Who started the most games as a rookie? Now, you know, with wide receivers, it depends on the formation and everything. But who started the most games at wide receiver as a rookie of a player that was drafted by the Steelers? That would be Deontay Johnson. He started 12 games his rookie year. Plaxico Burress started 8, Juju Smith-Schuster started 7, Chase Claypool and James Washington both started 6. So that's one thing, you know, actually getting on the field to start the game. Here's one that's interesting. What about targets? What about targets? The most targets of any rookie wide receiver drafted by the Steelers under Kevin Colbert, that would be Chase Claypool with 109. Deontay Johnson was next with 92. Santonio Holmes with 86 was third. Juju Smith-Schuster was fourth with 79, followed by Mike Wallace with 72 targets. Well, those targets, you would think that the receptions probably kind of fall in line there a little bit. They almost do because Chase Claypool, he had 62 receptions, most ever by a rookie wide receiver under Kevin Colbert for the Steelers. Deontay Johnson, 59, not far behind. Juju Smith-Schuster, one behind that at 58. So Juju was down, was I think fourth. Was he fourth in targets? Juju was fourth in targets, but moved up to third in receptions. So who got bumped out? That was Santonio Holmes. He had 49 receptions. Which is something you could talk about, like catch percentage, and we actually will. And then fifth most receptions by a rookie wide receiver drafted by the Steelers under Kevin Colbert would be one Antoine Randall with 47. So that's pretty interesting. But the most interesting of all is touchdowns. You know, Chase Claypool was one with 9. Now, these aren't all touchdowns. These are receiving touchdowns. Because I know Chase Claypool had 11. He had 2 rushing touchdowns as a rookie. But Chase Claypool had 9 his rookie season. Martavis Bryant had 8. And remember, that was in 10 games for Bryant. Because they didn't play him right away. Juju Smith-Schuster was next with 7. Followed by Mike Wallace with 6. And Deontay Johnson with 5. After those 5 players, nobody else had more than 2 touchdowns their rookie season after being drafted by the Steelers. Okay, yards per game is interesting because Juju Smith-Schuster was the tops there, but it went Schuster, Bryant, Claypool, Holmes, and Wallace. Those were the top 5 there. But the other one that I also thought was interesting was catch percentage. Who had the highest catch percentage, meaning the most receptions based on their targets? The number one for the Steelers in their rookie season is one that's kind of surprised me. He was Antonio Brown. He had an 84.2% catch percentage as a rookie after being drafted by the Steelers. Second was Juju Smith-Schuster at 73.4. Antoine Randall was 72.3. Dre Archer was 70. He was 7 for 10. But, you know, remember, he wasn't necessarily a wide receiver. Deontay Johnson was 64.1. And I'm going to do the next one. I'm going to go, although it's technically sixth, but if you throw Dre Archer out, it would be fifth. With a 60% catch rate as a rookie, that was Lima Swede. He actually had a 60% rate. But, man, if you look at the bottom and come up, ooh, my goodness. I mean, Lee Mays at zero because, you know, he didn't catch any of his targets. I'd said that earlier. Tony Clemens, that doesn't count because he was with Jacksonville, remember. The one that actually was the lowest of someone who caught passes, it was Plaxico Burress. He only caught 33.8% of his passes as a rookie. That was the worst, with James Washington being the next worst is 42.1. I just thought some of those numbers were interesting when it came to looking at the Steelers and their rookie wide receivers. Brian just mentioned that there were some good numbers there. So I did it. He was telling me some stuff. I was able to find some stuff. He compiled some of that. I compiled the rest. But that's kind of a pretty good legacy when you hear some of those names under Kevin Colbert of wide receivers that he drafted. And that's still players. I mean, think about that. Of all the players drafted at wide receiver by the Steelers, only two of them never played at all. Two of them played for different teams. And then two of them didn't have any catches. So if you think about that, that's pretty good that a lot of those receivers were at least getting in the mix a little bit as rookies, which, as you can see at other positions, that's not always the case. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, I'm going to answer that question that I didn't get to answer last week. It's not going to take a whole lot of time. So that's why we went a little bit long in the first section, because it's about not just what colleges the Steelers drafted from, but where they had the most success drafting from. So we'll answer that one when we come. When my phone rang, you found someone new. It's no surprise how life.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, we are back to answer this other Steelers Stat Geek question. Whew. Before we do, a couple things I got to say. One, make sure you listen to all of our podcasts, you know, on the whole channel. If you're not, well, let's just say this. At least sample every show. If there's a show in there that you haven't been able to catch, then make sure that you at least catch it one time, because you might be missing out on something golden. I just have to tell a little story that, you know, when we were running our contest before, which just the way it worked out, someone won the contest and then it wasn't actually able to go. It was kind of disappointing. But anyway, one of the things that they said was there was a show that they had never listened to before, and they did just in order to do the contest, and they couldn't believe that they hadn't been listening to one of the shows. I'll even tell you, it was What Yin's Talking About, which is one of my favorite shows. So that's kind of what I'm trying to encourage everyone is, you might see a show and like, I don't know about that one. At least check them out one time. And then if it's not your thing, then stick with the shows that are your thing. You might find that you like every show. Me, there's not a show on our network that I won't listen to. So make sure you're checking out all the shows that you can, and you're checking out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. I will say this, tonight is the special preview night where we will be talking about the schedule release after it comes out with myself, Jeff Hartman, Brian Anthony Davis, and we will give our too early game-by-game predictions of the schedule because we will have the schedule. Let's dive into this question. This question came to me from Nathan Smith via email, which reminds me, if you want to email me a question, it's stlrsuperfandad@gmail.com, or if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, it's just stlrsuperfandad. But Nathan said this, "Hey, Dave, can you do what school has the Steelers been – have the Steelers been most successful drafting from? I know that's kind of subjective, but thought it might be an interesting post-draft topic. Thanks. Love the show, Nate." All right. So I did this, but of course, because it's subjective, you got to find a way to do everything. So here I set up parameters. I just got to tell you this. I set up parameters. First thing I did, only going from 1970 on. I'm going from the merger. Before that, the Steelers stunk anyway. I mean, I know that kind of takes away Mean Joe Green in 69, but which was, to me, the greatest draft pick by the Steelers of all time, simply because that was the pick that changed the franchise. That pick changed the franchise. But so he's not going to be in here, but I went from 1970 on because that's one of those great cutoff dates of, you know, of the merger. And what I did is I'm using Pro Football Reference like I often do. That's what I use for a lot of my data. And they have a metric that they call, I've talked about it on here before, their approximate value, where they assign a numerical number based on how well of a season a player had. But then they also have what's called weighted career approximate value. And the way that works is that your top year counts as 100%. The second best year counts as 95. The third best year counts as 90. And they bring them on down. So the more years you play, the higher your score can get. But the better you play, the higher your score will be. I decided to use that measuring stick and do the top 100 Steelers or players drafted by the Steelers when it comes to their weighted AV score by Pro Football Reference. So in other words, they would be considered the top 100 players drafted by the Steelers. Now, players drafted in 2019, 2020, 2021, they're probably not going to show up because they probably don't have a high enough AV score. I will tell you this, the cutoff was 38. The cutoff was 38. Anyone that was 38 or above was on there. Now, this is also a career score. So some of these players might have had a lower score just with their time at the Steelers, but then went on. For example, a player that got included because he had a 38 score is Javon Hargrave. Now, Javon Hargrave was a Pro Bowler this past year for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's getting some good scores there, but he was also drafted by the Steelers in the third round. Another great example of someone that's going to be up here is Hardy Nickerson. He had a score just being with the Steelers would have been just below the cutoff. But then you add in those extra years that he had in Tampa and they did really well. That just goes, adds more to his score. So those players are included. They were drafted by the Steelers. They still went on, even if part of their career was somewhere else. I did not count that against them. And honestly, it's because I couldn't really filter it out, was the other reason. So let's get to these numbers, because what I decided to do was I only looked at schools that had at least three players drafted from them that finished in the top 100 in AV score for the Steelers since 1970. So there were some other schools that had two that aren't going to be here. Let's see. Here's my honorable mention. I'll give you my honorable mention. Here's a school. And the reason it's all honorable mention is you'll find out why. Wisconsin. Steelers had two players out of Wisconsin that made the top 100. They're like, "Oh, okay. Is that really right?" Well, the reason I'm pointing them out, one of them was a Hall of Famer in Mike Webster, and the other is the reigning defensive player of the year in TJ Watt. So even though it was only two, That's still pretty good. That's still pretty good. So what I did, top 100 for the Steelers, how many schools were there? There were two schools that had three players. Those two schools were Florida, University of Florida. Those three players were Max Starks, Marquise Pouncey, and David Little, linebacker David Little. Those were the three. So that was Florida. The other one is I would put them ahead of Florida and maybe even ahead of a couple of the other ones in the four category because it includes two players from the hall that are in the Hall of Fame. And that would be one University of Southern California, USC, because the reason that they had three was that there was in 1971, there was guard Jerry Mullins. But then that was also Hall of Famer Lynn Swann and Hall of Famer Troy Polamalu. So that was a school that the Steelers did pretty well drafting out of. They also had Juju Smith-Schuster in there in 2017. Not in the top 100, but you know, pretty good player to go along with that. Then moving on to the teams that had four. And just so you know, for these that are tied, I did them in alphabetical order, so I didn't make it seem like one was better than the other. So here we go. Teams that had four. Florida State. Florida State had four. They had JT Thomas in 1973, Chris Hope in 2002. Now, remember, his career wasn't all with the Steelers. Here's another one that's career wasn't always with the Steelers and came back, but I was surprised was in the top 100 for the Steelers. Orpheus Roy out of Florida State, and then, of course, Lawrence Timmons. So that one are some names that you're like, well, maybe they didn't do the most as the Steelers. Okay, well, then we'll move on to another one that was four, and that would be one Jeffrey Benedict and Andrew Wilbar would be loving this one. Da-da-da-da. The University of Michigan, which was in 1990, wide receiver Chris Callaway. In 2007, Lamar Woodley. In 2002, Larry Foote. And in 1975, defensive back Dave Brown. All of them were from the University of Michigan. Then you also got other players more recent, like Devin Bush. We'll see if he can turn it around and end up on this list someday. But for now, that is not the case. The next college, there's two more colleges that have had four, and you can probably pick what they were. Okay, so far with three of them, we had Florida and USC. With four, we had Florida State and Michigan. And then we got the two more state schools, one of which is Ohio State. We have Ohio State because, now this is a little bit of a disclaimer. You had Santonio Holmes in 2006. Now, he didn't play all of his career in Pittsburgh. Then you have 1991 wide receiver Jeff Graham. 1997 didn't have much in the AV score with Pittsburgh, but went on to a great career in New England with Mike Vrabel. So, you know, found a good player, just didn't have him pay off for the Steelers. But then, of course, we have the current defensive captain in Cameron Hayward. So I know you look at something like, yeah, but there's not all those players did that. But then this last one, I would say, is up there because guess what? It's another one of those schools that has two Hall of Fame players from it. And that would be one Penn State that the Steelers drafted in 1987, defensive tackle Tim Johnson. In 1992, defensive back Darren Perry. In 1972, Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris. And before that, in 1971, Hall of Fame linebacker Jack Ham. So those are the colleges with four players drafted from the Steelers in their top 100 of the career AV, regardless of where they played throughout their career. So to recap one more time, the threes were Florida and USC. The fours were Florida State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. You're like, wow, is there any more? Yep, one left. One college left that has five. And you're like, wow, look at all Ohio State. Okay, Penn State, Florida State, USC, Florida. Where else could it be? Where else could it be? Brian Anthony Davis would probably know this one. Because this is one that would maybe surprise people, but it does make sense, especially in the 90s. Because I will tell you, four out of the five were in the 90s from the University of Colorado. University of Colorado with five because it was wide receiver Charles Johnson in 1994, linebacker Gary Campbell in 1976, nose tackle Joel Steed in 1992, quarterback Cordell Stewart in 1995, and linebacker Chad Brown in 1993. So those, and just so you know, Charles Johnson, he had a 39 AV score. So he squeezed in at the bottom, just ahead of some of those others. So there you go. If you just use those numbers, because it's arbitrary, I know, Nate, it was. I just had to pick something, and that's what I went with. So believe it or not, Colorado. They've had a lot of success drafting out of Colorado. Now, what this didn't take into account was how many other draft picks came from these schools that may have not have been successful. And I don't know when the last time was the Steelers drafted someone out of Colorado. The latest one on this list was obviously, because look, they went 92 Joel Steed, 93 Chad Brown, 94 Charles Johnson, and 95 Cordell Stewart. So Cordell Stewart was the last one on those lists. But it was in four straight years. Kind of crazy. But that was an interesting number. I wasn't expecting that. And that's kind of what I like to see whenever I do these kind of things. So I hope that answered the questions. Hey, keep the questions coming. I'm excited about the schedule coming out. I want to know what to expect. I want to know what games I could go to. I want to know all kinds of great numbers like that. I've already said about checking out other podcasts, checking out the website, behindthesteelcurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. I hope to have the guest next week. We'll see if that continues to work out. We should be all scheduled and ready to go. Until then, I'll take care of yourselves. I'll see you next time. And as I always say, thanks for geeking out.